have a quick announcement. If you haven't seen it, maybe you're new to South Lake. Maybe you've been here 80 plus years. This hallway, we've taken some time and we've created a pictorial history of our church. And there's a poster and it has an opening statement and it kind of summarizes why this church was even started. And there's a history not just of pastors, but of specific moments in our church history that lead us to where we are today. And then there's a concluding statement of who we are and where we're going. So I encourage you to go out there and take a look at it. I think it's important to see that this church is more important than a singular pastor. It's more important even than us. It is that our faith is being shared and being passed on from generation to generation, so much so that in just 2 years, this church will celebrate its 100th anniversary. That's pretty awesome. There's a lot of churches that will never see that mark, and I think that's important to acknowledge that. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. I want to start this morning by having a little fun with you. I want you to envision something for me. I want you to imagine that all of us have a bank account. Each one of you has a bank account, and that account is credited each morning with $86,400. However, that money is only good for that day. The balance does not roll over from day to day. Every night at midnight, the bank deletes whatever money you did not use that day. And then at 12:01, your account receives the next $86,400. And you have 24 hours to use it. What would you do with the money? How would you spend it? How would you utilize it? I'm sure there are some of us in the beginning, because it's new, you might make a few extravagant purchases knowing that you're going to get that money. But once you understand the value of money coming in each day, instead of spending it irresponsibly, you probably would start investing it. By investing that money each day, you recognize that you could have more, that the returns would be bigger and the reward would be greater. Well, if you didn't know it, everyone here has an account with that type of bank. The bank is life, and it doesn't issue money. Instead, it issues time. Every day at 12:01, you are given 86,400 seconds to utilize, and every night, the balance is wiped out. You cannot carry over 1 second of time. What you don't use, you lose. There are no savings accounts, no 401ks, no offshore hidden accounts. That money is precious. That time is so very precious. So my question to you this morning is, how would you spend your time? Do you use it wisely? Do you see time as a precious commodity? Do you invest it well? Or do you allow this precious commodity to slip through your fingers? Most people just allow whatever to happen to happen. I want you to begin to see how precious time really is. And I want us to look at our sermon graphic in the center there this week. That is from the clock tower in Crown Point, and that is time. And it's often how we view time, right? It's almost 2 o'clock according to that clock. And we see time as something that just continues to roll on. We see time as dispensable, a resource without end. That clock will just continue to spin. Some of us have said, even, well, I'll just deal with that tomorrow. I always have time to get to it. But that's the wrong view. That's not how we should view time. Instead, we should look at that hourglass. We should see time as a limited resource that has a specific quantity to it. Each one of us has that hourglass. Each one of us has a specific amount of sand that is in that hourglass. And we don't know how much is in there. All we know is that we have it and it is running out. We need to have this view of time. We need to see it as a valuable commodity, one that is a limited resource. It does have an end. But there's a bigger point that we need to see to time today. We need to understand that this resource is a gift from God. That this gift of life and how we use our time is so very precious. So I want us to begin to understand the value of time this morning. And there's no better place to take us than Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was one evening, and there was morning, one day. It's a very important piece of scripture that we often just read and kind of move on. We don't think about. And I want you to have a correct perspective of this. We're going to show you a video here. We often don't think of the vastness of God's creation. That in Genesis, when he talks about creating the sun and the moon, and we can see the sun there in the center, and we can see the earth moving, and a very, very tiny little moon there by the earth that's moving around. We often don't think of God's creation in these contexts. We take it for granted what he has done and what he has created, and there's something more important there. It's not just that in that vastness that we have light in the darkness. It's not just that, but God did something very precious with that. If you're paying attention there, you see a rotation of the earth, and there's day and there's night. He gave us time. He gave us the gift of time when he created the earth to move in that pattern, to have a 24-hour clock that we can measure our lives by. That's actually a gift because it reminds us that we're not eternal creatures, that we are his creation, and although we are set apart, we are not eternal as far as this earth is concerned, and we have very precious time. I think we need to have that perspective. I think we need to begin there to understand just how precious all of this is. It's so vast and so expansive. Do we value that? Do we value each and every day? So I want to start us there this morning by understanding the value of time, because if you don't appreciate that, we're going to miss it. We often take for granted Scripture, how God created things. God could have created us just where we live somewhere and he flips a switch and light comes on. Oh, it must be morning. And then shuts it off at night. But in his beauty of creation, he gave us time. So I want us to start unpacking what time is. And I tell you what, Ecclesiastes has something beautiful to say about that. Scripture writes, "A time for everything," in Ecclesiastes 3. Beginning of verse 1, it says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to dance, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I said that incorrectly. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so a man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. This sets a very important perspective that we are to have about time. The first part of this is this: the author is continuing on all these different times, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to give birth, a time to die. It is the human experience. It is what we will encounter this side of eternity. And the author is saying, you have this time, it is precious. Remember that. But also, he makes a very important point. So God has set eternity in our hearts. Meaning, if you're a Christian, you should come to understand that this life will end and we'll enter into eternity. So this time that we have right here is so very precious, and what we do matters. So there is a time for everything. But then we have to recognize a couple other things before we even think about how do we apply this. We have to recognize that the days are evil. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. It's amazing when you study specific aspects of the Christian faith, how much they talk about it. You wouldn't think that Scripture has that much to talk about time, when in reality, it's always talking about time. It's always talking about what we're doing with our faith and what God is doing. Paul is telling the church, be careful what you do with your time. Don't be unwise. Make the most of it, because the days are evil. That seems like an odd statement, but it's not. We often don't think that in the ancient church that they had the troubles that we did, but the truth is, they had the same troubles we do oftentimes, just maybe in a different context. They had a challenge with time, with wasting time. Scripture writes that we are not to be lazy, that we are to work, that we are to be mindful of our actions and what we're doing, and Paul is reminding the church of that. And we have a problem with that today, with our time. We are really pressed for time. We live in a society where we have families that work, maybe multiple jobs. So people are going, mom and dad are going like this. And then you throw in kids and sports and different things that are going on, and we are hard-pressed to find time. But on top of that, we have a new evil. We have something called social media. I think this is an important stat to recognize, especially when we're talking about time. There was a survey done in 2021, and this is a global average. So they looked at social media usage across the globe, think about this, across the globe, the average person spends 2.27 hours a day on social media across the globe. That's a staggering number. Maybe you're not catching how significant that is, so let me do the math for you. If you times that by 365 days a year, that equals 828 hours per year. In other words, that is 20 work weeks a year lost to spending on social media. When we say we don't have time, we're fooling ourselves. Now, some of you, I'm going to pick here for a second, some of the older ones might be saying, oh, see those kids? They're spending too much time on social media. These phones are not good. You want to know the truth? That only applies if you're 65 or older to make that statement. Those 64 and younger, you fall into that same stat. It's not a generation-specific problem. It's a generational problem across the globe. From the time that we place an electronic device in a child's hand until, at least right now, until they turn 65, they're spending that much time or more on social media. This is a generational global problem. We have to recognize that the days are evil. We're not appreciating the time that we have. We also have to recognize something else. This is a fleeting life. Scripture writes about this, but I want to pull out two specific verses in James 4:14. James writes, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." In the vastness of eternity, our lives are but that. Birth to death, it's over. This is a fleeting life. It is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Psalm 39:4 says, "Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am." Oh, we are so foolish. I love the humanity in that verse. The author of Psalms, "God, let me know when I'm going to die so I take advantage of this time." Wouldn't that be nice? Why doesn't God just let us know when it's going to end? But he doesn't, because this is a gift and we are to utilize it. We don't know when our last breath is. I have no idea. And we take it for granted. Oftentimes in our youth, we think we are immortal, that we are going to live forever. At least I did. Thought, boy, live forever, grow old, and die in my old age. And I remember thinking, what happened as I looked at my 24-year-old wife in a hospital bed hours from death? All of a sudden, there is a reality check. This is a fleeting life. It is over like that. So we have to recognize how precious a gift of time that we have. As we come to understand that now, we can move forward, because the point of this series of how to be a church for the region is to learn the different aspects of our Christian faith so that we can live it out. And maybe you're thinking, well, how does time factor into having an impact in the world around us? Let me tell you how. Here's how we need to look at time. Number one, we need to make time for God and his church. I want to read you the words of Jesus, beginning in Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus says this, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worthy than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to this life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, now here comes the big but. But, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is pointing out our humanity. How often do we worry about what are we going to eat or what are we going to wear? In the ancient world, those were very forward problems. They were in-your-face kind of problems. Where's my next meal going to come from? Or how am I going to get new clothing? My sandals are wearing out. I've got to go to somebody that makes sandals. I've got to be able to pay for that. I mean, I can't just order it on Amazon. But do we really have much different problems today? I mean, we still worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. But we have other problems that consume us. Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. Seek God first. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Because if you seek him and you develop a prayerful life and you seek his kingdom, what is his kingdom? It's us. Here, on this side of eternity anyway. It is the church, the body of Christ. Spend time with other people, other Christians that can build you up. Use your time wisely. Seek to know God. Seek to know his word. Pray. Get around people that can help you learn and grow and mature your Christian faith. And then you will not have to worry because there is a peace in your heart. I remember, for much of my adult life, I did not know Jesus Christ. I did not walk with him, and the stress level was overwhelming. Nearly drove me to the point of a heart attack at one point. I tell you what, it's a beautiful thing to walk with God because that stress goes away. Problems don't go away. Trials don't go away. They're still there. But how I face them is vastly different. There is a peace that comes with walking with God. So make time for God and his church. If Jesus Christ died on a cross for us, is he not worth our time? Is that sacrifice not worth our time? So number two, use your time wisely. Paul teaches us how to use our time. Going back to Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Paul is teaching us, when we come to know Jesus Christ, that we should not be consumed with our past. We should lay our sins down. So the things that we were spending time on, our sins, we shouldn't be continuing on with that. That time should now be set aside for God. He saved you. Now spend time with your Father. But Paul makes another point, and he says, you should also spend it in the church. You should build one another up. You should support one another, love one another. There's so many one another's in Scripture, it's ridiculous. We've built a system in the church here for you to do that. You come in on a Sunday morning, you receive instruction. And then throughout the week, and here in just a few weeks, we'll be starting up life groups again. You can go into a life group. Our leaders that are part of that life group are there to guide you so you can have a discussion about your faith. And it doesn't matter where you are on your journey, that you can ask questions. I love when somebody says, this is kind of a silly question. No, it's not. It really isn't. I love those questions. Let's ask those kinds of questions. And it's an environment that is welcoming to those kinds of questions. We have discipleship. We have Bible studies. And then we have different ways to serve throughout the church. So we have a system on how you can use your time wisely for the kingdom of God. And then number three, lastly, make the most out of your time. Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. In other words, making the most of your time. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Paul is such a great teacher. He says, we are to make the most of our time, church. That hourglass is emptying out. But not just for us. Remember the stats, the 289,000 that I had up there the other week? The hourglass is running out on those individuals too. And because of that, Paul is saying, share the gospel. Share your faith with others. But when you do, be wise about it. Season it with salt. Oh, I love that. If you don't know, I like food. That should be evident. But I also love to cook. Love to cook. And oftentimes, as I'm cooking, I'll make my own rubs and spices and put it in there. And a common denominator, there's always salt. You season the meat to enrich the flavor. What Paul is saying, when you speak to people, season your speech with salt. Does your speech enrich the conversation, is what Paul is saying. It's not good enough just to say, hey, I'm a Christian. It's not good enough just to share your faith. But when you do, season your speech. Your speech should enrich that conversation. Whether or not that person comes to know Jesus Christ isn't up to you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. But your job is to enrich it. Do we do that? So that's part of it. If we're going to make the most out of your time, I also want to read from 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 11. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Make the most of our time. We have to do it, church. We have to think about our actions. It's not good enough to let life control us. It's not good enough just to let things happen throughout the day. I heard a saying many years ago that is so fitting: any dead fish can swim downstream. Do we just let life carry us? Or are we intentional about this precious gift that was given to us? God so loved us that he created time. God so loved us that he sent a Savior to save each and every one of us. And God so loved us, he said, here's the value of time. Now you go, you take this message. Now it's your job, church. It's been passed to you. The torch has been passed. The world is going to get crazier and crazier. That should be no surprise to us. Are we going to be a church? Are we going to be a people that approach others about our faith and invite people into this church who use communication that's seasoned with beautiful spices? That when we invite people, they want to come here because of what you say. Because of your words, they go, you know what? I want to check that out. There's something going on with so-and-so. Make the most of your time. Live. Live for God. I meant to bring this morning, but sadly I couldn't find it. I have a sign buried somewhere in my basement. And it goes something like this. It said, life is not meant that at the end of it all that we just lay down gently at the grave, but rather come sliding in sideways, screaming, woohoo, what a ride! I intend to do the latter. I'm going to use this life up. I'm going to live. We should think about those who cannot live this life well. The hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around this globe that don't have the ability to live life well because of the conditions that they live in. I am privileged. That's not a political term. I am privileged. I have my faculties, I have my health, and I have the ability to live freely in a country. Boy, am I going to use this up. I'm going to burn up every second of it, and I encourage you to do the same. Live. Live this life and live it for God. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for this life is so very precious. It is so rapidly decaying. Father, teach us to make the most out of every moment, those 86,000 seconds that pass by. Let us take advantage of them. Let us treat them as a rare commodity, as if each one was a gold bar. Let us invest it wisely for you. Let us enjoy this life. Let us make the most of every opportunity. Let us impact the world around us, and let us do good for your kingdom. Father, we love you and we thank you for the gift of life, the gift of time. In your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Church, your blessing is going to come this morning in the form of homework. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a smartphone, not now, but when you leave church, I want you to go into your settings, and almost every smartphone out there tracks how much time you spend on your phone. I want you to look at that and see where you're spending your time. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And I want you to ask God to reveal where He wants you to use that time. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Your blessing is that answer. So if you want a blessing this week, that's where you will find it. So, church, will you hold out your hands like this morning? Brothers and sisters, you have been given life. You've been given time. It's a beautiful, beautiful resource. Go and use it well this week. Enrich the lives of those you come into contact with. And dare I challenge you to maybe go out of your way to come into contact with others you may not normally talk to. Go now and be the church. Hug somebody. Tell them you love them. We'll see you next week.